make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you?
Hallelujah. Someone shout hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. It's so good to see all of you here. If you are a first-time guest of ours, thank you so much for joining in worship with us this morning. If you're worshiping online, thank you so much. We do have, if you came in, you should have received a connection card on your way in. Just a few points of information. You can see it up on the screen as well. Just a few points of information. We want to connect with you. We want to thank you so much. If you're here in person, stop by the kiosk. If you haven't already gotten it, we have a small gift for you. Just a small way to say thank you for joining with us. Online, you can follow the bit.ly link that you see on your screen. And we want to connect with you. Amen. At this time, we have a promotional video for Mother's Memorial. We can go ahead and play that video.
A girl who has been rejected by her parents learn to love again? Can a young lady struggling with addiction find freedom? Can an abandoned daughter rediscover hope?
At Tupelo Children's Mansion, children from all walks of life find a home of healing. Boys, girls, children, teenagers, all needing a Heavenly Father.
Can that rejected little girl learn to love again? She can. Can that young lady overcome her addiction? She can. Can that abandoned child find hope? She can.
Thanks to the generosity of Ladies Ministries, these children's lives are forever changed. Proverbs 31:25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." Because of your giving, these children will have hope, a new life, and a new future.
Almost daily, we receive applications of children in unbelievable circumstances. Through the brokenness and heartache, can she find a Savior?
Thanks to you, she can.
She can.
She can. Thank you, ladies, for giving to Mother's Memorial.
Amen, amen. We're talking about Mother's Memorial. We're in the season. This is a national fundraiser of the United Pentecostal Church, sponsored by the Ladies Ministry. This year's theme is She Can. With the efforts of all the funds raised, there are ladies, there's impact that's being made where lives can be touched. Amen. And including one of our allocation partners of Mother's Memorial, which you saw is Tupelo Children's Mansion. It's an orphanage down in Tupelo, Mississippi. I've been there. I worshiped with, they have their own church. And for security's sake, it's just the kids and the staff. And my dad was invited to preach. I was down there. And what an awesome time just to see lives being restored of children who've come from such horrible situations in their own families and life that growing up. And some of the funds for Mother's Memorial goes to Tupelo Children's Mansion, among other things, and we'll be highlighting those this month. But you can give. Our giving makes an impact locally, but also in efforts like Tupelo Children's Mansion. Please consider this month to give to Mother's Memorial, and you can make indications. You can put MM or Mother's Memorial, if you remember that phrase, on your giving envelope. We have many options. Out in the back by the kiosk, there's a box. There's giving envelopes. You can write it on the line for Mother's Memorial. Put it on your check if you mail it in, right? Mother's Memorial. If you go and use our Church Center app to give, you can select Mother's Memorial as the category. Amen. And you will be blessed. That goes through the end of the month, and we'll take a final offering at the end of the month. Amen. So consider that. This evening, we have a men's outdoor service at 6 p.m. That's at Brother Marvin Renvick's house. So all the men, you'll want to be there. I believe they're having a grill afterwards, so bring some meat to grill and hang out and fellowship after the service, and it will be a great time. With that, we do have a promotional video, one last video regarding men's camp, if we could play that now. So this is Wisconsin Men's Camp taking place up north in Shawano. At the end of July, as you head out of the church on the doors, there is the flyers that have the QR code. Just pull out your phone, open up your phone app, scan it. It'll take you to the link to register. The other excursion they may have, if you were here in the 10 a.m. service, you'll get this reference, but they may have a dinners with sinners around the grill. Amen. If you were not here at 10 a.m., you need to start coming at 10 a.m. We have some fun in our adult Bible class. Amen. If you have children, we have great children's classes that go on at 10 a.m. Come out for those. If not, go watch it. If you really want to know, have some laughs. Amen. But that's men's camp. I want to encourage you with that. If you would stand with me, we're going to go to worship here this morning. Amen. But we want to pray and ask God just to speak to our hearts today. Empty ourselves out here. Once again, we talked about repentance in our 10 a.m. session. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to move on our hearts, speak to us this morning through the preaching of His word, of the word, Lord. Let's go before the Lord right now. We thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness. We're thankful for your blessings, Lord God. Oh, you've been so good to us. That's why we sing, sing, sing. Lord Jesus, unto your name, Lord God. Why? Because, Lord God, I don't want a rock to cry out for me. I don't want a rock to cry out in my place, Lord Jesus. I don't want, Lord Jesus, something inanimate, Lord Jesus, to cry out, because they will cry out if no one praises you. I want it to come from my heart this morning, my lips, Lord Jesus. I want it to be my hands that are raised unto your glorious name, Lord. We worship you. We praise your name. Clean us out, Lord God, this morning, God, to receive your word, Lord Jesus. To, Lord Jesus, be changed, Lord God, this morning, to be rearranged, Lord, in our thinking and mindset, God. Let's give them a hand clap of worship, and let's worship with our team to this morning.
The story unfolds in the book of Luke, and it's Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and there are people that are laying down palm branches and crying out, Hosanna, and worshiping. And the Pharisees are standing off on the side and are criticizing these people who are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his response is something that gets me when I start to think about worship. And he said, if these didn't cry out, even the stones would cry out. And I've been so challenged in the season of life that I'm in right now. Whether I am in the mountaintop or whether I am in the valley, He is worthy of my praise. Whether I'm feeling the song that somebody's singing and they're singing my song, or they're singing a song I particularly don't care about, He is still worthy of my praise. And every time I walk through these doors, I have the opportunity to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I just want to encourage you this morning to join us. We've already had a practice, and we have felt God's presence so strongly as we practice today. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here right now in this moment, and He deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And I will not let a stone cry out in my place. Would you join me in that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Finding in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my soul. Find me in the desert, holding on to you for life. The desert will never take my soul. Oh, the desert will never take my soul.
And I will praise you.
dancing where you prophesy. Still shouting of everything you've done. High on a mountain, I was made to test it. Forever, you will be my song. Forever, you will be my song. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise you. And I will praise you.
To worship. May feel uncomfortable for you, but I'm just asking everybody right now, in this moment, if we'd be willing to close our eyes, if we'd be willing to raise our hands, and if we'd be willing to give the Lord our best praise, if we'd be willing to give Him and offer Him our best praise. I love you, Jesus, and I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity to come into your house, God, and to worship you freely. Not everyone gets that opportunity, God, and I don't want to waste, Lord God, the opportunity that I have God, I don't want to waste another second, Lord, but I just want you to know that I love you so much. God, you've been so good to me. God, you've done so much for me. God, you've saved me from so many things, Lord God, that I couldn't save myself from, God. You've delivered me. You've comforted me, God. Lord Jesus, you've never abandoned me, Lord. And I want to honor you, and I want to glorify you, Lord, and I want to praise you, God. You are worthy of every word that I can, Lord, come up with, Lord, out of my mouth. You are worthy of every time I raise my hands, oh Lord. You are worthy, Lord God, of every breath, Lord God, that I have in my lungs, God. And right now in this moment, I give you my best praise, God. I give you all that I have right now, Lord Jesus. I lift up my voice to you, God. I lift up my hands to you, Jesus. I lift up my heart to you, Lord God. Never will a rock cry out in our place, Lord Jesus. Never will a rock cry out in our place. Yes, Jesus. Let's just sing this chorus together one last time.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you,
I live.
To worship
you.
God. It's a very powerful presence of worship in the place today. Thank you so very much for our worship team, for allowing God to use you, work through you to open up such an atmosphere into the supernatural. God is so good. God desires to do a great work in our lives today. I believe that. I believe that. You can be seated this morning. Before I get into my message this morning, I just want to cover a few things. We were at district conference back in March, end of March, and Brother Dreary, which is one of our, kind of helps with the church financing and such within the UPCI. He's very instrumental. God has really used his mind and his gift for finances. And he was talking about a new endeavor that the UPCI Foreign Missions Department, along with churches, working through the financial end of our organization in a different type of a church plant. For our foreign nations that we cannot get into. Predominantly, I believe there was, if memory serves me, 27 countries that we are not able to get into that are closed off to religious organizations, China being one of them. Of course, we know that Sister Spears has come here. We've helped sponsor her to go to China. It's just far too dangerous at this point for her to go. But Brother Dreary presented this, and I just really felt that God wanted us to get involved in this. Now, you probably say, well, here we go. It's another one of these. It's always going to be another one of these because this is spreading the gospel. This is taking the gospel. But this is a very unique church plant. We're not actually planting a church, but we're actually starting businesses in nations that we cannot get into with a church, but we can operate a business through people that are already living in those countries. Now, I have a, call this week, this next week with Brother Drury. He's going to give us more details as far as businesses that people are ready to start. And so I will be bringing this to you in a future date, but if you feel God is maybe leading you in an area to help fund one of these, basically they're looking at around $5,000 per business start. So one business, someone may start a business cell phones, selling cell phones or servicing cell phones, but actually it's really not a cell phone business per se, but it is a church. you got to be creative. And the enemy is certainly creative in how he does things. And so without giving a whole lot of details, I will wait until we are able to take and have a conversation with Brother Drury in more detail, and then we'll be presenting that coming up. Also, it's Brother Derek's birthday, Derek Buchholz's birthday today. Happy birthday, Brother Derek. And for all of our brothers and sisters that are watching online today, we greet you in the name of Jesus. We wish you were here with us, but we certainly understand the reasons why you're not able to be here. But God is so good, and I am so appreciative. We started a series on Wednesday evening entitled Encouraging Others. And I want to be an encouragement. I want to be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters. I spent a good deal of time on the telephone yesterday talking to a friend who him and his wife are going through some major, major issues right now, things that they never thought they would have to deal with, but they're having to deal with when it comes to health issues and such. And I just encouraged him. We put his wife on our prayer chain, and we're praying for him. But I just, being an encouragement, we live in such a world that is, it's just crazy. That's all I can say. I struggle every day sometimes, but we started a series, we'll get into this, started a series talking about the attributes of God that we could cling to when life just gets crazy. And talking about encouraging others, my God is. And then we can fill in the specific attribute of God. As I said, we are living in crazy times. I feel our world is going absolutely bonkers, and it seems that just from day to day, it gets worse and worse every day. And we just completed a 3-day time of prayer and fasting, and I want to thank those that joined in with that. And I know many of you here today are struggling with your help and her health, and we're believing for miracles to take place among this church body, and I believe that God wants to spread it throughout our community. And I have had people call me, people that do not even attend this church, and say, would you please pray, and begin to ask us for prayer. This community, our community, needs Jesus. And we are in a season of revival. If I could say, oh, Brother Don, we haven't seen him for a while, but Brother Don used to say, today is your day, brother. And I just want to encourage you that today is your day. Today is our day. And we must realize, church, that God, no matter what happens to us and what happens around us, is still in control. We've been talking about the attributes of God, and when we talk about the attributes, we maybe are trying to answer questions like, who is God? Who is God? What is God like, and what kind of God is he? When we look at an attribute of God, an attribute is a characteristic, something that is true about him. while being fully comprehending who God is impossible for us in our limited human thinking abilities. God does not, or God makes himself known to us in a variety of different ways. And through what he reveals about himself in his word, we can read the word of God, and there's so much in the word of God that God reveals to us about himself. God makes himself available or makes himself known through our prayer and through fasting and through preaching and through teaching. God reveals himself to us in his word and in his creation. We can look at creation and look at the variety, it just boggles my mind when you just start to look at creation and you look at all of the animals and the trees and the plants and the flowers, the butterflies, the birds, and all of these different things, and you look at all of this. And it's God revealing to us his creativeness. We look at each other, and there's no two people here that are alike. Anybody disagree with that? I look out here, and I'm looking across the congregation, and certain people just pop out at you because they stand out a little bit more. This morning, Brother Tim Powell's watermelon shirt is just popping out at me. When he came in, the first thing I thought of was, your shirt put me back in East Texas at my Grandpa Smith's front door when he used to cut up watermelons and give to the kids. They would strip us down to our underwear and feed us watermelon and then garden hose us all off when we were done. It's an awesome shirt. I just wish it was in my closet. I'm just joking. God is unlike anything or anyone that we could ever know or even imagine. He's one of a kind. He's unique. He's without comparison. Even describing him with mere words falls short of capturing who he is. Our words simply cannot do justice to describe our holy God. When we looked at the attributes, we had a number of them. You can go back and listen to Wednesday night's lesson. But I want to start off this morning with, my God is infinite. He is self-existing. He is without origin. We read in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The psalmist declares in Psalm 147:5 that great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The fact that God is self-existent, that he was created by nothing and has always existed for ever, is perhaps one of the hardest things for us to wrap our human minds around. Our limitlessness, we are so limited in grasping the nature of our limitless God. It's like trying to hold back the raging Mississippi River with one small bag of sand. Yet today, to admit that there is one who lies beyond us, who exists outside of our level of classifications, who will not be dismissed with a name, who will not appear before a bar of our reason, nor submit to our curious inquiries, and requires a great deal of humility to understand. More than most of humanity has the ability to possess, so we save face by thinking God down to our level. We try to take and create, our world is trying to take, an awesome, mighty God who has no beginning and has no end, and tries to bring him into their level of understanding. I watch from time to time. I am not a huge social media guy, but from time to time I like to watch some of these apologists get into their debates with students and such, and it always comes down to, well, how do I know, or how do I feel, or how can I trust that this God is who you actually say he is? In our minds, we cannot think and fathom God as we think as God actually is. We can't wrap our minds around this. When we look into the Word of God, we have a written account of some 10,000 years of his relationship with humanity. We look at the word or the name Jehovah, and Jehovah is used some 6,800 times in Scripture, and it is the personal covenant name of the God of Israel. They referred to him as their Jehovah God or Yahweh. In the King James Version of the Bible, it can be translated as Lord God. Not only does it speak of God's strength, but it also speaks of the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God. And the root of his name means self-existing, one who never came into being and one who always will be. So if you're sitting here today, and you're struggling in your life, and things are unraveling and falling apart on you, you have to understand one thing. The God that you serve is self-existing and needs no one to help him in anything. He's got all of this in control. When Moses began to have a relationship with God and he joined God on the mountainside, he said, as God was going to send him back to Pharaoh, he said, "Who do I say sends you?" And God replied to Moses, says, "You tell Pharaoh that I am that I am hath sent thee." You got to understand, before Pharaoh was, I am existed. Before Egypt existed, I am existed. Before the deserts were formed, I am existed. And my God, the God that I serve, my I am, my God is immutable. He never changes. We look at the world today and so many things are changing, but you can place this, you can guarantee this, that God never changes. As Malachi closes out the Old Testament and the world is plunged into 400 years of silence where God does not speak to humanity, the old prophet in Malachi 3:6, he says, "I, the Lord, do not change. And the descendants of Jacob are not destroyed or consumed. We live in an ever-changing world, yet my God never changes. He's the same from the beginning of time until eternity. His character never changes. He never gets better. He never gets worse. His plans do not change. His promises do not change. If life has brought you to your knees and struggles that you are fighting your way through, this ought to be a source of incredible encouragement to you today. Because my God simply never changes. If he's a healer in the Old Testament, he's a healer in the New Testament, and he's a healer today. You have to understand this is in God's DNA. God said, just as I was in the Old Testament, I will be in the New Testament. I will be with you forever, even until the end of the age. So as the psalmist declared in his writings, he says, I have never, ever, ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, because my God is dependable. You ever have someone that you thought you could depend on in your life, and you have found out that people are going to let you down? I no doubt have let people down, and I will probably continue to let people down. I try not to. I do my best to fulfill my end of an agreement, but there are times where we just simply let people down, but God is dependable. So today our trust in him is, therefore, we can have a confident trust in him. We don't have to worry that God is going to just all of a sudden decide, well, I don't want to fulfill my end of the bargain, because whatever God said he's going to do, he is going to do. You see, we can rest assured that nothing, not any trouble or any hardship or any persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword nor death is going to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, it is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not even powers, height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you and me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So whatever we struggle with, no matter what happens to us, no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what sickness, no matter what infirmity, no matter what struggles that we have, whether it's finances or relationship struggles, our God is dependable. Do you believe that today? You sound like you're kind of a little bit not sure. Do you believe that today? Did we just not sing, our God is awesome, our God is awesome? Do we not believe that he's awesome? Do we just sing it because it's got a good tune? Or do we actually believe that our God is an awesome God? We look around us every day, and there's always something that we're going to need. There's always someone that's going to need something. But my God, our God, he is self-sufficient, and he has no needs. God doesn't rely on Walmart, and God doesn't rely on the grocery stores. God doesn't rely on Menards or Quick Trips or fast foods, because God is perfectly complete within his own being. Jesus made this statement in John chapter 5, 26, as for the Father has life in himself, meaning that God has life in himself. He doesn't need anything outside of himself to give him life and to sustain him. He doesn't need anybody else. So has God granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus said, you have seen me, you have seen the Father, and I and my Father are one. So Jesus, he is life. And he desires that we have life, and we have it more abundantly. You see, we have to understand God needs no one. He exists outside of our realm of time and space. He is faster, yes, than a speeding bullet, and he is faster than a hypersonic missile. He's faster than light itself, because light operates within the palm of his hands. Have you ever tried to think about that one? When the Bible tells us, when His Word tells us that He holds the universe in the palm of His hand, and we begin to think about how fast light travels at 186,000 miles every second, and God is faster than light because God is light. He created light. God is everywhere at the same time. And sometimes we think that we have things so bad and that our world is just falling apart around us. Our lives, we're struggling. And yet God, this is our God that we worship. This is our God. He is our Father. God is perfectly complete within His own being. This means that the self-sufficiency of God means that He possesses infinite riches. He possesses infinite wisdom. He possesses infinite goodness. He possesses infinite mercy. And He possesses infinite power in and of Himself. Because God is self-efficient, we can go to Him to satisfy every need that we will ever have. We never have to worry about the grocery store of God drying up. We see this on news reports and all kind of stuff about things running out of infant formula and food and things. Listen, we don't have to worry about God's resources are drying up. We never have to worry about His goodness, His peace, His mercy, and His grace. Ephesians 3:20, Paul writes to us, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us." This is the key right here. Let's read this very carefully. "Now unto Him that is able to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God can do all of that, but it's according to what is within us. How much are we going to allow God to do in our lives? How much are we going to depend upon God? We have the Holy Ghost. I like to talk about Brother Phil did a tremendous job in our Bible study talking about repentance. Incredible Bible study. You need to listen to it if you weren't here. But repentance, and then it's followed up with baptism, which we're going to get into that within next week, and then we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday. But God has given us the Holy Ghost. He has given us a power to work within us. And so many times we have the power, we have the authority, but we don't ever use it as God intends for us to use it. Now when I look at my God, and I'm going to close out this morning with this point, my God is omnipotent, which means my God is all-powerful. The psalmist, no doubt, on some beautiful starlit night thousands of years ago, wrote in Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry hosts by the breath of His mouth." Job, as he is in the midst of his greatest trial of his life, he's lost his wealth. His children are all dead. He's lost his dignity. He's laying outside, perhaps in the dirt, in his front yard. And he rolls over and he looks up into a star-studded sky. And he pens these words in Job 11, chapter 7, or verse 7 through 11. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. If he comes along and confines you in prison and convenes a court, who can oppose him? Surely he recognizes deceivers, and when he sees evil, does he not take note? You see, when you look at the word, when you look at God, and you look at the omnipotence of God, omnipotent means to have unlimited power. We serve a God that has unlimited power. Omnipotence comes from two Latin words, omni meaning all, and potent, which means powerful. You put the two together and it's not omnipotent, it's omnipotent. I remember I had a family member come up and ask me one day. This is kind of humorous. He said, I don't understand this. What does this mean about God being omnipotent? Took me a little bit. I said, oh, you mean omnipotent? No, I think it's omnipotent. I said, no. It's omnipotent. You see, God is all powerful. He could do anything he wills without any effort of his part. When God spoke the universe into existence, he just spoke it. He just spoke it. When he plans something, it will come to be. When God says something, we look at the word of God so many times and we say, well, God, this is God's, what God says in here, he's going to do. But how many times has God spoken to us through prophetic words? How many times has God spoken to you, perhaps in a dream or a vision or in prayer? When God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. When he plans something, it will come to be. If he purposes something, it will happen, and nothing can stop or nothing can prevent his plan. When his hand is stretched out to do something, no one can turn it back. God's decisions are always in line with his character, and he has all the power to do whatever he decides to do. Scripture is clear that God is strong and mighty, and nothing is too hard for him to accomplish. God is called Almighty, the one who possesses all power and authority. And my God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. So if our musicians can come this morning, we sit here with all of these attributes, all of these promises of God. I've struggled with this. I have prayed, and my prayers have been, I've struggled in my prayers. I said, God, we have all of these needs. And sometimes we try to think our way through things, and I've just come to the conclusion. I said, God, we have so many situations. There's so many things going on in the world today. There's so many things going on in the lives of brothers and sisters here at church that I don't have answers, and I can't solve this stuff. You ever try to just solve? Sometimes you try to think your way through. You try to solve whatever issue it is. We can stand to our feet. And in the process of trying to think my way through some of this stuff, sometimes God just begins to speak to you. begin to remind me. We've talked about perspective. About how you look at things, where you look at things from. Begin to put all these things together, and God just began to remind me of all of the things that He's promised. I begin to doubt. God ever promised you something and you begin to have a doubt? You can say yes. That God reminds us. do you know who I am? Ever see those funny videos? Somebody gets pulled over by a police officer, and the first thing they want to say is, "Do you know who my father is?" You know, they want to pull that little authority thing. When the devil comes at you, and when the devil comes at me, I'm preaching at myself here, we need to just stop him and say, "Hang on a minute, do you know who my father is?" When he wants to mess with your health, when he wants to mess with your finances, when he wants to mess with your marriage, when he wants to mess with your with whatever it is, we just need to stop and say, "Hang on a minute. Do you know who my daddy is? Do you know who my father is? Do you know what he's capable of doing?" So what is it today? What is it to, it's not morning anymore. What is it this early afternoon? A few minutes after 12. What is it that you need from this almighty, great, loving, powerful, trustworthy, good, holy, and mighty God? But you see, a scripture that always puzzles me is, "You have not because you ask not." Brother Rico, how much would we ask God if we were fully confident that everything we asked of Him, He was going to take care of? The Bible, I understand, there's a whole Bible study on asking amiss. Not everybody here needs a Harley Davidson. But if you're a missionary and the only way you can get to where you need to go is a motorbike or a motorcycle, God will probably answer your request. But if you just want to go out for Sunday afternoon rides with Dave Shroud and his Harley, maybe not. There's some practical sides to God. But there's so many things that we should be asking Him for that we don't ask Him for, as we try to figure it out ourselves. We're afraid. Ask. Just ask. Just ask. So what is it today? We're going to open up this altar in front. So whatever it is, as our worship team begins to sing, you step back into a season of worship. We serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a creative God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a loving God, a trustworthy God, a holy God, a mighty God.
You are famous for, shut the mouths of liars. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones.
Lord, again, church, we serve an awesome God. We just have to remember that no matter what goes on around us, no matter what situation we're in, God has it in control. And love you all. Appreciate you all. Continue to pray for one another. And don't forget, we have our men's service down at Brother Marvin Renvick's. And that's tonight at 6. Don't forget to bring something to throw on the grill when you're done if you want to. You don't have to, but you're more than welcome to. So God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you all. Have a very, very blessed week. Have a happy birthday today, Brother Derek.